It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. With a September deadline looming, it seems likely that lawmakers will extend the 2018 Farm Bill for the second year in a row, instead of passing new legislation.
The Farm Bill is massive, covering 5 years of funding, not just for agriculture, but also for social safety net programs, things like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
It's been held up in Congress with debates over food assistance and climate change provisions.
We're taking a look at why lawmakers are stalling on the Farm Bill and how it could all affect Wisconsin farmers. Fran Leary starts us off, editor of the Wisconsin Agriculturist at Farm Progress. Fran, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's nice to be with you.
Now, the Farm Bill is huge, and the name might be a little misleading. It's not just about farms. Give us a sense of the scope of what we call the Farm Bill.
Well, the Farm Bill does include agriculture and farming, but it also includes a lot of other things, specifically food programs like SNAP, which used to be called food stamps. And those benefits, along with WIC, Women, Infants, Children program, is also part of the Farm Bill. And school lunches are part of the Farm Bill. A lot of things you don't think would be part of the Farm Bill because it doesn't sound like it's agriculture, it's. So they kind of lumped together over the years. It evolved. Agriculture, it started out in 1933. When they first started having a Farm Bill during the Great Depression, and they threw the food programs in there as they happened because they wanted to have a reason for urban politicians to be involved and interested in the Farm Bill because they don't have much agriculture or farming in their state or their district, then what skin do they have in the game? And this gives them an interest in it. Well, the farm part of the Farm Bill is one of the more minor parts compared to the food programs.
Now, the Farm Bill, it's a five-year bill, right? And here we are in year six of that five-year bill. We had an extension last year, and looks like most likely we're going to get another extension. Why? What are some of the political holdups?
Well, this happens pretty much every year. It's like this. A five-year Farm Bill usually takes about 7 years to pass. And the reason for that is different each year, as you would imagine. But last year, President Biden extended it 1 year from it was expired in last year. The five-year Farm Bill, which was signed in 2018, expired last year. He extended it till September 30th of this year. It looks like we're not going to have a Farm Bill signed this year by that time. I would say a 95% certainty that we will not. So he will likely extend it again. But I'm thinking that the House Democrats and Republicans are far apart on what they want to do with the Farm Bill. The House this year is in control by the Republican Party, and the Democrats want, and the Democrats, House Democrats and Republicans want to increase the farm spending by $50 billion, which is about $5 billion a year. And the Republicans are saying, well, we have to save somewhere else. So they want to cut the SNAP benefits by $30 billion over the next 10 years or $3 billion a year. And I assume that maybe they're thinking things like the election will give the Democrats back a majority and they will get more what they want if they wait until next year to sign it. But that may not happen either, so stay tuned.
Now, we're in Wisconsin, of course, Fran, and there's a lot of interest in what this is all going to mean for dairy farmers in particular. What sorts of stuff is in the Farm Bill in general that dairy farmers have their eyes on?
Well, the dairy farmers are quite interested in the dairy margin program, which they've About 75% of all dairy farmers last year participated in that program. It's been around for a few years. And last year was a good year to be in the program because 11 out of 12 months, the milk prices were low enough to trigger a payment. And the average dairy farmer participating in that program received $75,000 from being enrolled in that program.
Of course, we think dairy farmers in Wisconsin. Of course, we've got a lot of cheesemakers, the next step along the chain there. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association wrote a letter. About 200 dairy companies and organizations around the country wanted more dairy business innovation initiative funding. Can you tell us a little bit more now on that step in the food chain, the cheesemakers, and what interest they have in the Farm Bill?
There's over a couple hundred milk plants in the state. 90% of the milk produced in Wisconsin it goes into cheese, but they're looking for an increase in their make allowance. And what that means is to cover their expenses of processing that cheese and that milk. And that's why they're interested, because that comes out of the milk check before the farmer gets paid. So the farmer directly pays for that.
And looking at the Farm Bill, bigger picture now, of course, farmers, they sell to people here in Wisconsin. They're hoping to sell in markets around the country, around the world. Are the things you're watching for when it comes to whether Wisconsin farmers are competitive on the world market and how the Farm Bill impacts that?
Right. Farmers in all countries get subsidies from their governments. So when you're trading with milk, for example, if we sell cheese on the world market or butter, we're competing with all the other countries that produce and sell butter and cheese on the world market. And they're products are subsidized, and that's why it's necessary for our dairy farmers to have some subsidies as well, because it's comparing apples to oranges if you don't have the subsidies.
And I understand you, Fran, cover conservation issues related to farming and the Farm Bill itself. What kind of things do you have your eye on there?
The biggest conservation program is the CRP. Conservation Reserve Program is the main player in that, but there's several offshoots of that in the Farm Bill. So farmers who enroll in programs that help them conserve some of the poor quality land on their farms, or maybe put a whole farm into CRP, the funding for that is in the Farm Bill.
What are you watching for, Fran, between now and the September deadline to either renew the Farm Bill or, I guess, extend it for another year?
Well, some of the things in the Farm Bill, it will eventually get passed. I doubt this year, but maybe hopefully next year. And they usually do that about Christmas time. They finally get around to signing it, passing and signing it. Some of the dairy things that are changes in this first draft of the Farm Bill in the House calls for 25% reduction in the premiums for the dairy margin program, and also increasing the amount of milk that's covered. Right now, the first 5 million pounds of milk that a dairy farm produces in a year is covered. Now they want to raise it to 6 million pounds. And a couple other things that affect dairy farmers that are in there would be the change in school lunches. They're talking about allowing students to have whole milk again. Right now, they're only allowed to have no-fat milk, 1% milk, or 2% milk, but no whole milk.
Fran, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Fran O'Leary is an editor of the Wisconsin Agriculturist at Farm Progress. She talked with us about the U.S. Farm Bill, which expires at the end of September, Now we're talking about policy issues affecting Wisconsin farmers and how the next farm bill addresses them. Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you, Rob.
Farm bill, big, big deal. What does the Wisconsin Farmers Union want to see in the next version of the farm bill whenever it gets passed?
Well, we certainly want to see a farm bill that's going to make sure that there's competition out in the workplace and also make sure that the farm bill is something that's going to be practical for farmers to continue staying in business and making profits. And so, you know, looking at the two different versions that we're seeing right now, it seems like the Senate version is more friendly to what we would like to see happen versus what's in the House bill. But, you know, eventually there could be that compromise and maybe we get a little bit of both and we'll be happy with that too. But, you know, our main thing is just let's see a farm bill this year and let's see a farm bill that's going to be beneficial to farmers and consumers alike.
And you mentioned competition. Now, we've seen and we've talked about on the show trends, bigger and bigger farms, especially when we're talking about dairy, the smaller and mid-sized farms, fewer and fewer of them each year. Are there things you think that the farm bill could do to level the playing field, keep some of those smaller operations and business and communities around the state?
Yeah, there is, you know, and certainly looking at the dairy revitalization plan that the Dairy Together program and a few farm organizations have been working on together over the last 2-3 years and trying to stabilize that that pay price that goes to farmers at a level that would be maintainable for farms to stay in business and make a profit, but also making sure that we're not seeing this massive expansion of dairies like we're seeing in some states like Kansas, where they're just about going to double the size of their dairy herd in 1 year. Texas is adding 100, 150,000 cows and different farms down there, too. So how do we make sure that we're staying at that family value type of farming and not getting into the corporate farming that we're currently seeing?
What kind of policies would you want to see when it comes to price stabilization? Because anybody who touches the dairy industry knows there have been some bizarrely low stretches of milk prices, some higher milk prices for farmers. Is there something you could see making a more predictable environment for dairy?
Yeah, well, certainly looking at something that's using the cost of production that the USDA figures out on a yearly basis through a few different universities and some of the economists there. And, you know, that really gets close to what that average cost of production is. Now, certainly there's going to be farms that won't stay in business because of that price being too low for them. But then there's going to be other farms that are going to be making huge profits, too, on that same dollar amount. So, you know, getting something that's going to be beneficial to the majority versus what we're seeing now, especially when we see low milk prices that only a few farms are able to maintain a profit margin. You know, we need to get something that's going to diversify our production system that will allow more producers to stay in that production model.
Now, for a consumer, Darren, who, you know, their only contact with the dairy industry is eating some cheese, getting some half and half or whatever, what's in it for them? Why should they care if their product is coming from a few massive dairy farms versus a bunch of smaller farms around the state?
So looking at that milk that comes from the local dairy versus the milk that might come from California or the milk that might come from Texas, you know, if we get to the point where even the largest dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin can't be profitable and run out of business, you know, that is a potential if we continue down the same road that we are. So having that diverse production system, which means farms of all sizes, but making sure that we have a lot of farms, will make sure that there's that adequate supply in everybody's neighborhood.
Now, it's not always the headline item, Darren, in the farmer bill, but things like conservation, land stewardship, that has been part of the farm bill in decades past. What kind of things are you hoping to see there?
Well, we're hoping to see that the expansion that happened with the IRA bill that was signed into law back a couple years ago by the president that put more dollars into conservation programs. We're hoping that those dollars stay there and expand those programs too, because for many years now, farmers that have applied for that a lot of times get denied because the funds run out right away. And, you know, when you're looking at a 250 to 300% participation rate and only, you know, a handful of folks get the dollars because they get they run out because of you know, the budget doesn't have the dollar amount in there. We're hoping with the extra dollars that was put in there under the IRA that those dollars actually stay in the conservation title and therefore can be distributed throughout the country for the good conservation practices that the most farmers are using.
I remember two, three farm bills, Darren, talking to people about value-added grants where they'd help smaller operations branch out into something a little more profitable. The tomato farmer, maybe it helps them make salsa and sell it, or a dairy farmer who wants to get into artisan small-batch cheese making, something like that. Is that still on the table these days?
That is, and, you know, that's another one of those programs that there should be more dollars put into because currently the demand is a lot higher than what the dollars are. So, you know, a lot of those folks that want to get into that, you know, either have to go at it themselves or don't get into it. And so by having more dollars in that program would allow more of these businesses to go ahead and get started and therefore supplying that local community, those local consumers with the products that they really want to consume.
Getting back to the big picture farm bill, Darren, how much of this is, you know, a need to have something in place to give predictability? Is there, I guess, an element of uncertainty when this thing keeps getting kicked down the road for another year?
Well, there certainly is because there's always that possibility of funding disappearing, just depending on what happens in the budget committee and, you know, how much appropriations get allowed for the different programs that are in there. And every time that we don't have a farm bill in place, there's always that possibility that the funds can be cut and it's going to hurt local rural communities because those dollars won't be there for those farmers to be able to stay in business and make sure that they're producing the foods that the consumer wants.
Do you get frustrated with the political hurdles, the, you know, especially in an election year, the sort of things that get in the way of this thing getting passed?
Yeah, you know, back 25, 30 years ago, the Farm Bill was one of the least partisan bills that was out there. So, you know, the two parties would sit down, work together, put something on the table, get the work done that needed to be done to make the compromises, sign it, and move on. And now we're seeing this drag-out effect that's happening because of that partisanship. And I think, you know, a lot of farmers that, you know, we've got that work ethic that we just want to see the job get done and get it done in a timely fashion. And so, you know, with extension after extension, it's just making more farmers weary of the programs, but then also weary of the political process that we're in too.
Darren, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, thank you, Rob.
Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He talked about his organization's priorities for the U.S. Farm Bill, which expires at the end of September, an extension expected in the meantime. We also heard from Fran O'Leary, editor of the Wisconsin Agriculturist at Farm Progress. If this is something that affects your life, your business, if you are watching this farm bill closely, tell us what it means to you, what you're hoping for, what you're worried about. You can email WisconsinToday@WPR.org. That's Wisconsin Today as one word at WPR.org.